Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
No. That wasn't any fun. That was supposed to be fun. That just sucked, man. That was a gut punch and a half. But here's what we're going to do at the start of the show. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. Here's what we're going to do at the very top of the show. As the Brewers fall tonight, 10-6 in a wacky game, walk-off grand slam by Nolan Arenado in the bottom of the 10th. Devin Williams, his first blown save of the year. Trevor McGill, the loss. Here's what we're going to do at the start, and then we'll have real conversations. We're going to look at the standings. We're going to look at the calendar. We're going to look at the season series. The Brewers are still a double-digit lead in the Central. They're still just a game back of the Phillies. They're still here on August 21st. They have won the season series against the Cardinals. They have won the season series against the Cubs. It's won. I know we talk about every game matters, and maybe we'll be looking that final week in September saying, if you just won that game in St. Louis, but they lost it. So there's still a lot of positive momentum. Tonight was the first loss in a week for the Brewers. They snapped their six-game winning streak. There's a lot of good that's been happening for the Brewers. And quite frankly, Augie, I think the Brewers and Pat Murphy went to the well one too many times with Devin Williams tonight, and it showed in an ugly way. Back-to-back bases-loaded walks to to make it a one-run game, and then tie the game, and then he had to be lifted looking for back-to-back saves. In my opinion, if there was a night that Trevor McGill was going to get the save, and given all the experience he had in the first half of the year while Devin was out, it would have been tonight. I would have gone straight to McGill at the start of the inning, especially given he was already loosening. Nonetheless, they went to Devin, and he had an opportunity to get out of the inning. Let's not forget that. There were two outs in the frame, still without a run scored. But Devin then threw eight consecutive balls. In my opinion, Augie, Devin simply ran out of gas. Fifth time in the last week? That's a lot, man. That's a lot for anybody. Fifth time in the last 8 days. That's a lot for a closer, for any pitcher, and it finally caught up to him.
In a way, I agree with you. I think going to him tonight back-to-back was a little bit of a challenge. I also thought that maybe this was something that they had planned. When you're working with Devin Williams, he has to go back-to-back, and he hasn't gone then. So I thought that what they were trying to do tonight is to bring him in a meaningful game and see how it would work out. Did he have his good stuff? No. Did he throw too many pitches? Definitely too many pitches. I thought part of the inning was there was Devin Williams out there struggling, throwing 31 pitches, and you didn't have the pitching coach go out and give him a break. I think sometimes when a guy's struggling and not throwing the ball consistently where he wants to throw it, I think sometimes you just got to go out there and just give him that pause, let him collect himself a little bit, and that's why you have the pitching coach go out and talk to him. I thought maybe that could have been a little thing that I would have probably thought they would have done if they give him a break. But I think when you look at what Devin Williams, the way he pitched last night, the night before, threw the ball so well, pitched out of a tough situation, I think going back-to-back, they wanted to see where he was at. And I'll tell you one thing, the big pitch with him is the airbender. He has to have great control of the airbender, and he just doesn't quite have that yet. So I think going back-to-back, even though it might have been a little bit a lot, getting him back-to-back, it gives him that opportunity to see where he is at. So as much as I think it could have been a little tough on bringing him back-to-back, I think it could be a good thing that will play to the Brewers' strength as they go along through the season. Getting him out there back-to-back, have him going through that struggle now, so when he gets out there next time and he has a better control of that airbender, things will be much better.
One shoulder says, well, hey, this is the type of workload he would have in a postseason series, which is factual. I think, you're going to have back-to-back days. Like, let's say the Brewers can move all the way on to the NLCS, right? You get back-to-back, game one, game two, off day, then three in a row, off day, two in a row. So there's going to be a lot of work there for Devin Williams if need be. However, the other shoulder of that says, well, you've got so many different arms in this bullpen. You've used Devin, and 17 pitches yesterday were not a normal 17 pitches. And we were praising Devin of how great he was. And let's also make something very, 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 very clear. Devin Williams is the closer. I saw some dumb tweets coming to me. Devin Williams, the closer. Stop it. Don't kid yourself here for a second. You were just freaking out about how well he pitched against the Dodgers last week. Let's not lose sight of how great of a pitcher he is because he had one blown save tonight. The other shoulder, though, is like, well, you have all this depth. You built up this incredible bullpen that's finally getting healthy, that finally had Brian Hudson, and he gave up a home run tonight. Yoel Piamps was fantastic tonight. If there was a night that you're like, okay, hey, Devin, you take the breather. You've worked a lot this last week. Let's give it to McGill. Just came off the IL. This is why you activated him. And ultimately, Pat Murphy did not go in that direction.
And I agree with you. I think there's some what you say there has a lot of merit, and to see where it is. But I think the one thing that Pat Murphy was trying to do with bringing Devin Williams in the game is just see where he is right now. Devin came in. He's been throwing the ball real well. We saw the way he threw the ball against the Dodgers. The way he came in last night and battled his way out of it and got the save. I think what he was trying to do, just say a gauge of where he was at. 17 pitches was a tough 17 pitches last night. But I think see where he is at, because as you go along and you start making this preparation for postseason, as we go along here, because this club is playing so well, is you got to find out how you want to use that bullpen. I agree, McGill is your closer too, and he's going to be a guy that's going to be extremely important with Piamps, and all the rest of the guys are going to be important. But I think what the real thing that they tried to do today, and I think the reason why they went there, is to find a gauge and see where Devin Williams is coming after maybe a little bit of a tough outing, battling right back the next night, and see where he's at. You will not see Devin Williams tomorrow. There's no doubt that he will not be in the game tomorrow. But I think this was just a gauge that Murph can look at, and now we know what to set up, how the rest of the season is going to work for Devin Williams, and how he can go back-to-back and see how he is once he has that airbender and he's got that great control of it.
I mean, the big thing with the changeup tonight for Devin, he threw 19 changeups. Only 8 of them were for strikes, and of those 8 strikes, 5 of them were swings. So, A, that means out of 19 changeups, they only swung at 5 of them. That tells you there's a game plan here. They're daring Devin to land it for a strike, and he simply could not. And then he didn't trust the fastball once men were on base after the double by Fermin, and then everything went to heck from there. Furthermore, let's also make a point here. Devin's not the only one guilty in this. The Brewers, and look, Ryan Helsley's nasty, okay? Tough to score off that guy in the top of the 10th inning. The Brewers had their next best guy, Trevor McGill, in the bottom of the 10th, and he had trouble as well. Brian Hudson gave up a 2-run home run tonight to Lucan Baker in his first at-bat in the big leagues this season. Tobias Myers only went 4 innings. Like, there isn't, you know, there's little things along the way that led to the Cardinals being in a position there in the 9th inning. Do you hope Devin Williams can close it with the bases loaded in 2 outs after striking out Goldschmidt? Absolutely. Do you expect 8 balls in a row from Devin Williams? Absolutely not. So I'm chalking this up as an anomaly. There's no reason to freak out, you know, burn it down, flip a table or anything. There's no reason. It's a first blown save of the year. Okay, big whoop. He's going to get a couple days off. The Brewers will go for the series tomorrow. Don't want to lose sight of some of the positive stuff that did happen tonight. A lot of stuff talking about Pat Murphy tonight. We'll get to those texts here as well. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers fall 10-6 in a wacky one at Busch. It's okay. It's a game of peace. In this series, they'll go for the series tomorrow at 1:15 here on WTMJ. I'm Dom Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. And Augie, you can kind of bring us into the closer role here in just a moment. But first, I got to pay the bills here real quick. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings also brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows how to hit out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Augie, I think you and I both know, I mean, I'm a baseball guy. You played in the show. And there's a different role. There's a different sort of set of rules when you're removing a closer from a ninth inning. Some say, stand by your guy, thick and thin. It's his inning, whether he starts the inning and he finishes the inning, point blank, period. And some guys, you know, maybe don't have as long of a leash. And the moment there's trouble, I got to figure out a get backup plan and that sort of thing. Devin Williams is in the former, meaning it's his inning generally. Something has to go drastically wrong for him to be pulled from an inning. And I thought tonight fit that category, obviously, throwing eight consecutive balls to suddenly go from a two-run lead with two outs to a tie game with two outs to go get Trevor Megill. There is a little bit of hesitancy from a manager, and this is Pat Murphy understanding the job and trying to trust his closer in Devin Williams, but there is a little bit of hesitancy, and you can shed light on this, that managers never want to go get the closer, not just because of ineffectiveness, but just sort of the psyche and a little bit of the extra that goes into trying to get the final three outs.
Yeah, I agree with you in there. You know, today we have a little bit of a contrast, and that's what makes this program so much fun. The contrast was Dom says, you know what, McGill's the guy night before. Williams has struggled through 17 pitches. Megill would be the guy to go out. That's one contrast. Augustine comes in and says, you know what? I think, you know, this tonight's game was a bigger game for the Cardinals than it was for the Brewers. What Murph was trying to do is trying to see where Williams was on two back-to-back nights after struggling the night before. I think that's a great contrast. And as we go on in the next couple of weeks, we'll be able to take that contrast and see how Murph uses it down the road to see how he's going to set up this bullpen and how he's going to use Megill and Williams as they get on throughout the season. But when you get to a reliever, I thought the biggest problem tonight was, after you just said it perfectly, when he threw the eight pitches, where the eight balls in a row, when he threw that, that's the time when you got to get that pitching coach out there. If you're not going to take the closer out of the game, you got to go out and give him a break. And the goal
to be fair, Augie, I don't want you to get cut here, but Chris Hook went out earlier in that inning. He went out after the double by Fermin. Of course, if you go back out, you have to take him out of the game. So I think that's right. Part of the reason why that happened.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't remember going after Fermin, and that does make a big difference. And I thought that when you get a guy in a situation like he was there, I think then Murph has to make a decision. But when you get a closer that gets it right around 30, 31 pitches and is struggling like he was with locating his fastball and the airbender, I think you have to go out and get the Megill out in the game. And I think that was just the thing. I made the mistake there by him going out with Chris Hook going out. But that's it. Getting a break there was really important for him at that time because he was struggling with location, and that was a big part of the game.
Yep, amen. So let's start moving off the ninth inning and start talking about some of the other stuff here. Let me get to some of these texts, though, too. This one from here in the 414. Love Pat Murphy and the way that he manages, but tonight, Devin Williams has just been played too much. Shouldn't have stayed in that long. I agree with Murph on a lot of things, but just not tonight. This one from also the 414. First game that Pat Murphy made a bad decision that cost us. Left Williams in one batter too long. Otherwise, an exciting game and well played. Tough to see it slip away. This one from Doug looks to me like either Williams or Megill. This was meant to be. This stuff happens. Just don't let it happen too much. Forget about it. I agree. Just dust yourself off and move on. And this one from Ryan in New Berlin. Tough. Tonight's loss, hard pill to swallow, but these are tough losses that are going to happen. The positive thing coming from this is that it's a learning experience for this young team. Speaking of young, we saw a record tonight. Jackson Churio, a four-hit game for Jackson tonight, Augie. This kid continues to impress. It was his first career four-hit game. He's the youngest Brewer ever to have a four-hit game. The only player younger in Milwaukee baseball history to have a four-hit game. Some guy by the name of Henry Aaron. So just by about 100 days younger is the last time he did it. Churio, four hits, a triple using the speed. He played fine in left field. He actually nearly robbed the home run from Lucan Baker. And he is finding a hole in this two spot right now when the Brewers really needed it.
Yeah, yeah, you got to like his at-bats. The triple was a hustle triple, but, you know, he coming up with the in the late in the ball game and with the bases loaded, and he comes up and gets a big base hit right there. Just to see his patience at the plate, you know, he's in that second slot in the batting order, and really is each and every time he goes up to you, you like his approach. He takes the ball where it's pitched. He hit it to where it pitched. He takes a lot of pitches. He's very patient at the plate, looks for his good pitches, but, you know, for a young man like he's what he's been doing over the last several months where he had to struggle and all of a sudden he made that little miscue in the outfield. Ever since that, boy, he's really turned it around. And I'll tell you what, not only has he played better in the outfield, but he's really swinging the bat well. And tonight, I thought that when he came up and got the big base hit there, or scored a couple of runs, I thought that was a really good at-bat.
It was great. And for him to just kind of continue to show that he can pull the ball, the last hit was up the middle, he got an infield hit as well. And the other thing about two of the four hits came with two strikes. He struck out once today on a cutter earlier from Gibson, but otherwise he made contact in his other four plate appearances tonight, which was impressive. William Contreras, another extra base hit, his 15th of the month. We'll have a full positive segment coming up in the next segment. We'll talk about Tobias Myers as well. I want to get to the phone lines, though, real quick. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. You can text in. You can call in. Right now, let's get to Jack in Phoenix, my hometown. Jack, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Good to hear your voice, Tom. How you feeling?
We're back. We're good. I was in Atlanta last night. My thanks to Bob filling in.
Well, hey. I mean, I got to say, can't complain about how the last week has been as far as the pitching's been going. And I scroll Twitter, as we all do. So, see a lot of negativity about not pulling Williams, not doing this. And I think it's good. I think get it out now. I mean, it all comes down to this, but it really doesn't. We got a lot of ball left to play.
Amen. I agree. I think with the biggest thing with the overreaction to social media, which, as you know, Jack, certainly does happen, the biggest thing for me is that the Brewers are in such a great position that they are in the top seed race here. And thanks for the call here, Jack. And as I bring you in here, Augie, the Brewers and their fans, and this is an incredible feeling that for these final 5 weeks, it's going to feel like every game matters. And the energy, and whether it's positive or negative, there is more energy around this team all of a sudden, Augie, because they feel like every game will matter down the stretch as they try to chase that bye, because everybody wants to see this team be a one or two seed, which is why you might see some overreactions from time to time.
Yeah, I agree. I think when you look at this ball club, you know, when you see them playing the way they've been playing the last several weeks, you know, we're taking a team that's they're 20 games above 500. They went to the top three records of in the National League, and really vying with when you look at the schedule, the way it comes in, they're going to be playing a lot of these teams to see how they can do. So, yes, the interesting part is going to be they got some tough games down the road. Yes, they do play against some of the teams that they want to get ahead of, and that's that they and stay ahead of, and possibly get the best record in the National League. But it's going to be interesting baseball the rest of the season. They got some great teams to play. The division's got to be won. They got to take care of that first of all. They got to play well in the division. But I thought tonight was a game where it was more important for the Cardinals. The Cardinals are looking where they're 5.5 or 6 games in the wild card chase, where they got 5 or 6 teams above them that have winning records. The Cardinals do not have a winning record. They're not even at 500. So they've got a bigger hill to climb, but the Brewers go out and they played well tonight. I really liked the way they played. In the fifth inning, they came back after the Cardinals had scored. They came right back and scored a run. In the eighth inning, after the Cardinals had scored a seventh, they came right back and scored. So this is a team that continues to go out and play hard for 27 out. They're playing good, consistent baseball, and I just hope they continue in that way, playing all three parts of the game, defense, offense, and a good, strong pitching continuously the rest of the season.
Maybe tomorrow we're going to you know, see a series victory for the Brewers and just laugh like, huh, could have been a sweep, but, you know, it is what it is. The Brewers fall tonight 10-6. We'll talk about some positives. We'll talk about Tobias coming up next as the Brewers fall 10-6 and 10 on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, it's a loss. Ho-hum. Welcome back. I'm Dom Petronio. Gary Augustine is with us for one more segment. As we go scoreboard watching here at the start of the segment, the Brewers chasing that number one or number two seed here in the National League. The Phillies, they won tonight. They came from behind against the Braves. So they're at 74-52, which means they're a full game clear once again of the Brewers for the two seed. The Dodgers, 75-52, on their way to 76-52, so they continue to space themselves in the win column. There'll be three up in the win column, but only one up in the loss column as things move along. But again, the Brewers do not have the tiebreaker there. Real quick, and then we'll go to some positive stuff. Tobias Myers, weird night for Tobias, as kind of reminded me of the start he had, I believe it was against the Marlins, when he sort of struggled, a lot of high-stress innings, a lot of traffic behind him. He only went four innings. He needed 90 pitches just about to get the job done. He did only allow two runs, but the big thing that jumped out to me, he had two walks. He had a ton of three-ball counts. He was still getting strikeouts. He got five strikeouts in four innings, but he wasn't getting swing and miss, and he wasn't really missing barrels either. It was a weird day. It's just a lot of big misses, and then a lot of misses down the middle, and then I quite frankly, I'm surprised he only allowed two runs given some of the mistakes that he got away with today.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the 89 pitches in four innings is a lot of pitches. And, you know, the one thing we talk about Tobias Myers is when he went into Colorado, they said he found his slider, he found his cutter that he started using with getting some depth on it. And that was a big pitch for him. It still is a very big pitch for him. But I think the one thing with Tobias Myers, and I take when I look at Tobias Myers, I kind of flip over to a little bit of a Colin Ray. Colin Ray, when he pitches, we talk about it many times, he pitches to the edges of the strike zone. Well, I think that's one thing that Tobias Myers has done. He's been a little bit of a student of what Colin Ray does to have successful. And when he goes and he can pinpoint control with the outside parts of the plate, staying in the frame of the strike zone, and then use all his pitches, he is very successful. I thought tonight, Dom, he had a little bit of problem with his fastball locating it. It was just out of the strike zone, and it looked like that cutter, the fastball, he was holding on to it a lot. Had a little bit of problem throwing strikes with his off-speed stuff, the secondary pitches, and I think that's where we got the high pitch counts per batter. We got the 89 pitches in four innings. It's just that he didn't have that good pinpoint control today.
Yeah, it all starts with fastball command, and you look at 27 fastballs, only 17 of them for strikes. But yet, he held opponents to 0-for-7 when they put that fastball into play. It was the slider that was hurting him. They were sitting on his off-speed, and he was hanging a few of them, too. He had four hits allowed on his slider, which was the most he had allowed in a game this season. I mean, opponents had come into tonight fantastic against Tobias, struggling against Tobias and his slider, and he hung a few. The Cardinals ambushed and attacked on those, and they were able to chase him from this game early. Another couple of positives from this one, too. Joe Ross quietly giving two extended innings of relief, getting a pair of strikeouts, leaving a man stranded in both of those. This is going to be Joe Ross's role moving forward. He's not going to be starting here anytime soon. And if he can give you that sort of bridge to get it at the time, you were thinking Hudson, Pyoms, Williams, or McGill, and all right, cool, good night. Joe Ross, certainly a big positive that needs some recognition from tonight.
Yeah, he pitched the ball very well. I just really like the way he pitches his fastball, uses secondary pitches to his advantage. But, boy, I'll tell you, with the two-seam fastball on the inside part of the plate, the left-handers brought the ball back over to plate in away on right-handers. I thought he moved the ball around a lot. He used his two- and four-seam fastball very well. And when he needed a good fastball, he really reached back and he got a little bit more on the fastball, got a little bit more velocity on the fastball. I thought he was the main reason why they were staying in the game after Myers had struggled just a little bit, kept him in the game. But I thought Joe Ross coming in, giving those two innings of shutout baseball, was a real turning point in the game.
And one more from the pitching side of things. I've said it every time. I'll say it again. Yoel Piamps has clicked back into early season mode of 2023. Yoel Piamps, his 15th appearance since July 12th. He's only allowed one run over this time. He is not allowed a run in nine outings here in the month of August. Yoel continues to be a weapon, seems to have fortified the seventh, eighth inning, depending on where they are in the lineup, as something that he can use and continue to roll with. The fact that Yoel has clicked it into gear with fastball command is thrilling and exciting to watch for this bullpen.
Yeah, he's been able to reach back and use that fastball and locating and elevating it when he has to. It just seems like he's got a little bit better command of his breaking ball, too. It seems like he's throwing it. It's a little bit sharper. It doesn't have the big break that he had had at one time. He's locating that pitch, but it's really when he can command the fastball, get ahead with that breaking ball down the zone, that fastball up his zone is very effective, and he's been throwing very well his last several times out.
Let me give you the list now as you shift to the offense. William Contreras has his 15th extra base hit here in the month of August. Here's the list of primary catchers to have at least 15 extra base hits in a month in Brewers history. Jonathan Lucroy and Dave Nielsen. That's it. That is it. And now Contreras is with them. Lucroy had 16 twice. That's the only company if he can add another. And, oh, by the way, he's still got eight more days here in the month to try to surpass 16 and beyond for the most extra base hits in a month by a catcher. He's been incredible this month and is hitting the ball hard, it seems like, every time he's at the plate.
I'll tell you why. It was the time where it looked like, you know, like they were trying to pitch around him when Gibson was trying to throw a lot of breaking balls away. It was a 3-0 count. He throws him a sweeper right down the middle of the good breaking ball down in his zone. He goes down and gets a big base hit there. They score a run, big double, and they score a run. I'll tell you what, that is really a good piece of hitting. He was up there with a chance with a 3-0 pitch. If he got his pitch, he's going to be able to swing and hit it. I'll tell you what, I thought he hit a pretty good pitch. The ball looked like it was down in his zone. He just went down and got it, and boy, drove in a run for the Brewers that really helped him.
It's been a really fun month, to say the least. Two for four with the RBI double. He was also intentionally walked later. Some sneaky stuff under the radar from the box score today. Joey Ortiz, clutch two-run go-ahead double in the top of the eighth inning. You'll hear that in the highlights. Joey had an RBI single yesterday. He had three RBIs today. He also scored a run after reaching on a walk. Tito had the nine spot. I mean, a lot of teams would love to have a guy like Joey Ortiz hitting like fifth for them, and he's hitting ninth for the Brewers given their lineup balance and what they've been able to do for him. That was huge. Frelick, another couple of hits today, no strikeouts for him. The Jackson Churi already talked about the four hit game for him, so the Brewers are, you know, they're piecing it together. It's not the prettiest picture sometimes. They haven't hit a home run in this series, and yet they've had a chance to win both games. They have only won one so far, and there are multitude of ways with their offense to get the job done.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I really like what they have done. They're always in the game. They fought back, like I said. You know, you look at what they did in the game after the Cardinals had scored in the fourth. They came back in the fifth. After they scored in the seventh, they come back in the eighth. I thought they did some really good things. And how about Rhys Hoskins tonight? Mm. Three walks, three runs scored. I'll tell you what, that's a really productive night. And I tell you what, his patience at the plate paid off, so they're doing things a lot of different ways, but they're getting good at bats. They're patient at the plate. They're a tough team to strike out. They're going to battle you. And I tell you what, it showed tonight because they fought back and it was a good ball game. And unfortunately, it just didn't turn out the way we wanted it. But they battled for 10 innings and just fell a little bit short.
It's just one of those nights indeed. All right, Jerry Augustine joining us here on WTMJ. Get some rest. We'll talk to you again Saturday afternoon. You'll be joining us as I will be heading out to Oakland. You'll be calling in as the Brewers get ready to say goodbye to the Coliseum. And, Augie, I know you pitched there back in the day, right? Back in the American League days?
Yes, I did. It was a great place. I loved pitching there. The ballpark was a great place to park to pitch in because the ball didn't travel real well. It felt like you could throw the ball down the middle, let him whack at it, and let him hit the ball, and ball didn't go out of the ballpark. So, but it's a fun ballpark. It's a unique ballpark, and now that the A's are moving on to somewhere else, I think that's going to be a lot of nostalgia for you to go back to Oakland and see the Oakland A's play the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, it'll be great. Thanks, Augie. We'll talk to you on Saturday and Sunday. And, man, I can't wait to see the Coliseum one last time. Thanks, Augie.
All right. Good to be with you.
All right. We'll talk to – we'll hear from Pat Murphy here in just a moment. Highlights a little bit later as well. Brewers fall 10-6 in 10 innings. Do not fret. Still up double digits in the Central. We're not going to freak out tonight. Back with more after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. For this month only, so you only got 9 days left, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is waiving their $99 trip fee for HVAC service calls. Visit Sider.com to schedule an appointment before it's too late. That's Sider.com with our friends at Sider. So Tobias Myers does not factor into the decision. Neither does Joe Ross. A blown save technically for Brian Hudson. That's how the rules work. I don't make up the rules. Yoel Piamps gets a hold. Devin Williams gets a blown save his first of the year. Trevor McGill gets the loss. The Brewers, the oddity of this series is how patient they have been. They struck out 14 times today, which wasn't the prettiest thing in the world, including three from Mitchell and two from Terang and two from a couple of other guys as well. But eight walks. They only struck out three times yesterday, and they drew six walks. So 14 walks and 17 strikeouts in these two games. That's wild. That's a pretty good sign of a healthy offense right now. A couple of texts here. One question asking, does Tyler Black make the postseason roster? Unlikely at this point, quite frankly. Doesn't have a home positionally. Is still learning how to steal bags in the postseason. And if Blake Perkins is healthy, we hope he is going to be activated tomorrow when he's first eligible to come off the aisle. He took batting practice today. Seems like all systems go for him, which would mean Tyler Black would likely be optioned back down to AAA Nashville. And in the event Blake Perkins is back up in the big leagues, and that means you suddenly are going to have back to a traditional four outfielder setup, meaning one guy on the bench, whether it's Garrett, whether it's Sal, whether it's Perkins, one of those guys is going to be your designated pinch runner come the playoffs. But maybe you add Black as opposed to carrying three catchers. That's certainly a possibility as well. The Brewers will have to figure that out. But to me, I don't think that's super likely at this point. We're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up in just a moment. The Brewers, though, back at it tomorrow at 1:15. And a quick scheduling note, no postgame show tomorrow, no pregame, just the on-deck show starting at 12:30. But normally we'd have Brewers Weekly on Thursday night. No Brewers Weekly tomorrow night. DNC coverage from our great news team here at WTMJ will be live down in Chicago at the United Center. So no Brewers Weekly tomorrow. But I will be on my way to Oakland getting ready for those three games live from the Coliseum to give you postgame show and coverages all weekend long there. So just quick note, no postgame show tomorrow. No Brewers warm-up on Friday, but we will have it on Saturday and on Sunday. Up next, we'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, right here on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
A lot of folks wanted to hear from Pat Murphy tonight, so let's go ahead and hear from the manager what he saw as he was ejected tonight, by the way, too. Brewers fall 10-6 in 10. Devin Williams, his first blown save. Here's Pat Murphy.
He got tired for sure, but he's going on back-to-back nights, second time this year. And, you know, he gave up a hit-by-pitch and a ball down the right field line and, you know, good piece of hitting and then, you know, lost his command.
Even the guy as talented as Devin, when you're kind of working back from the injury that he had and you've been down for a little bit, do you see these sometimes, you see these blips where guys just kind of have to work through?
You see blips in every pitcher in baseball. So it's not anything that doesn't happen to the best of the best. He is one of the best in the game, and it's not anything that doesn't happen to the best. You know, like, it happens. You know, and he didn't get much help, you know, obviously.
The conversation on the field was balls and strikes in the night?
Yeah, sure was.
Mark, after that walk to Carpenter, as you looked at him, you know, kind of checking in.
Yeah.
Physically, you know, are you good? It's like, how much are you – you've seen Devin for so long. How
yeah.
much are you – weighing what you're seeing.
I knew I didn't want him to go past. Yeah, I didn't want to go past a certain number of pitches, but I knew he still had the opportunity for the save there, and I knew he's in those situations for a reason. You don't want to bring another pitcher in the game in that situation. But in fact, you know, he walked the next guy too. Probably one batter too late. He probably ran out of gas the hitter before, but got some tough calls in a couple of them. And, you know, I think frustration and then tiredness setting in, kind of, we had many chances to add on more runs and didn't, but credit goes to the Cardinals. You know, they're scrapping and playing hard and got some timely hits. And, yeah, credit goes to them too.
The way that one ended obviously overshadowed what, you know, had transpired the seventh inning, the eighth inning. Joey, big hit. Jackson, big hit. Four hits tonight. You know, you got some pretty good contributions from your young guys.
We really did. I got some great contributions. Jackson, Contreras continued to swing the bat great. You know, Joey Ortiz came up big. He had a great game all the way around. Jackson, obviously, was fantastic. Hoskins continues to have good at-bats early. And, yeah, there was a lot of good things, a lot of things to be happy about.
He had to grind it a little bit, but for Myers to only give up two, I guess, to get out in four like that, is that a good way for him to limit damage at least with what he was able to
do? He just wasn't throwing the ball the way he can. I mean, he wasn't great tonight. And you don't just leave guys out there to leave guys out there, you know. So it's like we could see he wasn't throwing the ball the way he normally does. And but nonetheless, he did an admirable job without his best stuff. So Joe Ross needs to be commended for the job he did in the two innings to get us there, bridge that gap. And then Hudson made one bad pitch, and he knows it. And, yeah, other than that, there's a lot of good things, a lot of things to be happy about. Guys competed till the end. So, yeah, just unfortunate how it came down.
That's manager Pat Murphy tonight. Also want to add in real quick here, this from Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who is live down in St. Louis, tweeting the quotes from Devin Williams, who spoke to the media tonight as well. Quote from Devin, "I didn't have command of either pitch today. I was able to make it work for a little bit there, and then those last two hitters, I couldn't throw a strike to save my life." More Williams, "I couldn't throw enough strikes today, which is, I would say, a worse feeling than actually giving up a hit. I beat myself today. I didn't make them beat me. I didn't even make them swing the bat. That can't happen. I'm not going to make any excuses. I just didn't get the job done tonight." Kudos to Devin. Appreciate him always being a stand-up guy, professional with the media. There were some highlights, though, as you heard Murph allude to them. We'll replay them coming up next here on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Options.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Game 2, Cardinals and Brewers. Kyle Gibson for the Redbirds. Tobias Myers for the Brewers. And get used to one thing in this game. Traffic. Because of the 20 innings that were played tonight, 19 of them had at least one base runner. And yet, in the first three innings, this game was still scoreless. It would be the Cardinals opening the scoring, though, in the bottom of the fourth inning. A sac fly from Tommy Pham, then an RBI single from Mason Wynn. But the Brewers would find a way to respond in the next inning, avoiding the shutdown frame thanks to a sacrifice fly from Joey Ortiz. Joe Ross entered for the fifth, and he would throw two scoreless frames. In the top of the sixth inning, with the Brewers down by a run, their offense really started to click into gear. A leadoff triple from Jackson Churio. Then with one out, it was William Contreras.
3-0 pitch. And a ground ball past Arenado and into left field for a base hit. Churio trots home. Contreras turns first. He's on his way to second with an RBI double. We are tied at two.
Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ, his 15th extra base hit of the month. And yeah, that was a 3-0 green light from him. So the Brewers tied the game at two apiece. We go to the seventh inning. The Brewers attacking the Cardinals' bullpen. Every great rally starts with a leadoff walk. Hoskins draws a walk. Then Ortiz draws a one-out walk. Puts runners on first and second. Then a pass ball on the first pitch from Jojo Romero. Put men to second and third. Bryce Terang surprises the defense with a bunt. Now the bases are loaded. Still only one out. And here's the kid, Jackson Churio, again.
The 0-1 pitch. Line drive in the left field. Jackson's got a base hit. In from third, Hoskins right behind him. Joey Ortiz to the plate. No throw home. Churio's got a two-run go-ahead single in the seventh. The Brewers lead it for the first time tonight. It's 4-2.
There's Josh Maurer here on WTMJ. But A response in the bottom of the seventh inning off of Brian Hudson, of all people. Lucan Baker hit a two-run homer to tie the game. So the Brewers had to get the offense in gear again in the eighth with, once again, a leadoff walk. Two men were aboard with two outs, and then another backbreaker. Two outs, two strikes, Tito at the bottom of the order.
The 3-2 to Ortiz, runners in motion, driven out to left center field. This is going to plug the gap and hit off the wall. One run is in, Hoskins around third, he will score. Joey Ortiz delivers with a two-run double, and the Brewers back on top 6-4 here in the eighth.
Three RBIs tonight for Tito in the bottom of the order. Great stuff from him, but that's where the fun would end. Devin Williams would come back on back-to-back nights of work tonight for the bottom of the ninth inning. He hit the first batter he faced, Wilson Contreras. Gave up a double to Freddie Fermin down the right field line. That put runners on second and third with nobody out. He struck out Arenado, but he walked Newt Barr, so back to the same situation as yesterday. One out, bases loaded, Goldschmidt up. He struck him out. Then it was Matt Carpenter. He would walk him on four consecutive pitches. Then it was Tommy Pham. 3-0 count.
3-0 missed inside. He walked him. We were tied at six. Another bases loaded walk. Back-to-back bases loaded walks.
And then the real twist of the night was in the bottom of the 10th with Nolan Arenado on in a 6-6 game.
1-2 on Arenado, the pitch. Drilled into deep left field. It is hooking. It's towards the line. Is it fair? It is fair. It's gone. It's a walk-off grand slam by Nolan Arenado. And the Cardinals score six over the final 2 innings. They walk off the Brewers 10-6 the final tonight.
Ugh. Go take a shower. Wash it off. That one was no fun as the Brewers fall in extras. We'll preview tomorrow coming up right after this on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. Sorry. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, final few minutes here of the program. Tomorrow, like we said, on the air at 12:30 Central for a 1:15 first pitch. Freddie Peralta and Miles Michaelis, a pair of righties, going at it tomorrow as the Brewers are still 20 games above 500, still in command of the Central, but now a game back of the Phillies for the second spot in the National League seeding. Then it's on to Oakland and some odd start times given to what we're used to. Only one late night game, though, an 8:40 first pitch Central time on Friday. Then we got day games on both Saturday and Sunday. So don't worry, you only got to stay up late for one time this weekend, but then the Brewers do go to San Francisco and Arizona later in the year. 3:07 on Saturday and on Sunday Central Time, as the Brewers will play 1 o'clock games locally in Oakland. Off day on Monday, and then back home for a quick one with the San Francisco Giants. Real quick, in case you missed the news today, one of the tormentors for a long time of the Milwaukee Brewers, Joey Votto, officially announced his retirement today. He had been in the AAA farm system of the Toronto Blue Jays. He did not make any appearances in the big leagues this season. He's walking away from the game with over 2,000 hits, over 1,300 walks, nearly a career 300 batting average at .294, but a .409 on-base percentage. He won MVP in 2010. He's a six-time All-Star. The list goes on and on and on and on. He was runner-up in 2017 as well. For me, surefire, no doubt. No doubt, first ballot Hall of Famer to me. And a lot of folks say, oh, he didn't get the 3,000 hits. Well, he was a guy that was ahead of his time, understood how valuable walks were. Go ahead and throw the walks in as hits, and he's well over 3,000 hits. So I think Joey Votto is a no-doubt Hall of Famer. He certainly was a no-doubt Hall of Famer in what he did in his career against the Milwaukee Brewers. So again, no Brewers Weekly tomorrow night, but we'll be live with you on Friday night from Oakland. My thanks to Max Meyerson, our producer, staying up late with us tonight after that clunker, and for Jerry Augustine for his analysis, as always. I'm Dominic Catronio. We'll talk to you on Friday. Until then, keep on swinging.